Today, markets look past tariff mayhem for now, but... Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, one that is post covering finance and property news. This is our weekly market update where we start in the US, across to Europe and Asia, and then in Australia, covering commodities and crypto along the way. The past week was full of events, as the top US court, which has a conservative majority, ruled 6-3 against Trump's global tariffs enacted last year under a federal law meant for national emergencies. US economic data confirmed a stronger inflation pulse and weaker growth, plus mixed economic signals across Europe and Australia landed, while China is closed for the New Year holidays. All up, the global MSCI index rose 0.98% for the week, while the all-country Asia, excluding Japan, rose 2.28%, and the ASX 200 in Australia rose 1.78% for the week, although eased slightly on Friday. The stocks 600 in Europe rose 2%, while US equities closed higher on Friday, as investors took the US Supreme Court ruling that President Donald Trump's use of tariffs were illegal actually in their stride, and after he moved swiftly to keep tariffs in effect. The S&P 500 climbed 0.69%, the NASDAQ gained 0.9%, and the Dow Jones Industrial Average rose 0.47%. 9 of the 11 S&P 500 sector segments rose, led by communications services up 2.65%, followed by a 1.27% gain in consumer discretionary. For the week, the S&P 500 rose 1.08%, the NASDAQ gained 1.51%, and the Dow edged up 0.25%. Now, it's worth noting in passing that while the S&P 500 is up almost 1% in 2026, there's been a gain of over 3% in the MSCI Global Stock Gauge. Now, on the surface at least, market reaction to news that the US Supreme Court has struck down President Donald Trump's infamous tariff regime looks pretty muted. Actually, the world's most important equity market was on track for an even better day before the court's decision was announced, and it dipped then suddenly. Supreme Justice Gorsuch noted, "If history is any guide, the day will come when those disappointed by today's results will appreciate the legislative process for the bulwark of liberty it is." The market started recovering after Trump announced in a press conference that he would impose a 10% global tariff for 150 days under Section 122 of the Trade Act of 1974 to replace emergency duties that the Supreme Court struck down using a different federal law. Economists and strategists anticipate few immediate overall changes. For all the financial market pain that was sparked by the Liberation Day tariff announcements last April, investors have actually grown to not so secretly approve tariffs. Why? Because despite Trump's protestations, they really did act as a great big tax on the American people. And more tax revenue is good for America's massive budget deficit and debt pile. It's estimated that the now illegal tariff regime raised somewhere between 160 and 240 billion US dollars. On Friday night, the Committee for the Responsible Federal Budget estimated that the elimination of tariffs could reduce revenues by $1.9 trillion between now and 2036 and increase debt by $2.4 trillion US dollars over the same period. Now, it may be that things will get a bit more volatile in the coming weeks because it remains uncertain as to whether the US government will need to refund tariffs collected, and it's also unclear as to how trade deals that Trump has made with individual countries in the last year will be affected. It'll be a while before we understand the size of any long-term hit to the US debt position as we move from the old tariff regime to the next one. Goldman noted this won't be the end of tariffs. The administration will most certainly roll out alternative legal frameworks. Net result is probably slightly fewer tariffs, materially more trade uncertainty, and some incremental deficit concerns. Net-net, that's mildly supportive for equities and mildly negative for bonds, but largely priced for both. But Goldman contains a contradiction. Mildly supportive equities while flagging deficit concerns. Alternative legal frameworks means slower implementation, but broader scope. In effect, its corporates can't hedge because the timeline is unknowable, and so the volatility will haunt us for some time. Remember, thousands of companies around the world have filed lawsuits challenging Trump's sweeping tariffs, seeking refunds on the duties they've paid. And in passing, we should note that the White House on Friday said that Trump planned to travel to China from March the 31st to April the 2nd for a meeting with his counterpart Xi Jinping. And on Tuesday, Trump's expected to detail his key political objectives leading to the November midterm elections in a State of Union address. And also on Friday, Trump said he's open to limited strikes against targets in Iran. And earlier, the Iranian foreign minister told a US television interviewer that his country plans to finalize a draft agreement in the next 2 to 3 days for review by the US. US economic data this week showed US GDP grew at 1.4% in the fourth quarter of 2025. That was well below the 2.8% expected from economists and sharply down from the 4.4% in the third quarter. The government shutdown, which lasted almost half the quarter, dropped about 1 percentage point from the growth. For the full year, the economy expanded 2.2%. And core PCE inflation, the Fed's preferred measure, rose 0.4% in December. That's the largest monthly increase in nearly a year. On an annual basis, it climbed to 3%, up from 2.8% at the start of 2025. With US economic growth slowing as inflation is picking up in December, traders now see only a 50% chance that the Fed will cut interest rates by its June policy meeting. But that is by no means certain, and some now suggesting a rate hike ahead. This came to a head on Wednesday after the minutes of the Federal Reserve's January meeting showed several policymakers in support of interest rate hikes to curb inflationary risks, a scenario that bodes poorly for speculative assets. The US 10-year Treasury was at 4.085%, while the 2-year rose to 3.48%. Nvidia is to report after the closing bell on Wednesday. And in the note, Wedbush Securities' Dan Ives made clear the importance of the result. The AI trade has been the fear of the unknown for the tech and software sector in particular. For the bulls, it's like fighting a ghost, while the CapEx dollars approach about $700 billion US this year alone. The fear is AI startups will be the Nightmare on Elm Street horror show for the tech industry. The AI trade is at a tenuous crossroads. It's time for tech leaders to lead. Shares in Nvidia rose 1% to $189.82. It's roughly 10% below the record high it set in late October last year. Alphabet, Amazon, and Meta all rose, but Microsoft slipped. Industries ranging from software to logistics have also been hit by concerns that rapidly improving AI tools could disrupt their business models and intensify competition. And Akamai Technologies slumped 14% after the cloud company forecast first quarter adjusted profit well below Wall Street estimates. But Lululemon and Nike, who could benefit from the tariff ruling, saw their shares rise. Elsewhere, the private credit markets will be in the spotlight after Blue Owl Capital said on Thursday it's going to sell $1.4 billion in assets and freeze redemptions at one of its funds to curb debt and pay back shareholders, a move that sparked concerns over broader credit quality and exposure to recent stock losses. Is this idiosyncratic or is it something more? Well, we'll have to wait and see. The US dollar slipped on Friday as traders assessed the fallout from the Supreme Court's ruling, and the currency still had its best week since November, boosted by a more hawkish Federal Reserve outlook and elevated tensions between the US and Iran. The dollar index, which tracks the greenback against the basket of six other countries, traded 0.2% lower to 97.79, but was still well up for the week. Gold prices rose on Friday after disappointing readings on US inflation and growth reinforced expectations the Federal Reserve would not cut interest rates. US gold futures rose 2.2% to just over 5,000 US, and silver rose 7% to $82 per ounce, while platinum also gained just about 5.3%. Interest rates and gold have historically shown a large inverse relationship, with gold prices falling when rates rise and vice versa. bullion tends to struggle when borrowing costs rise because higher yields increase the opportunity cost of holding the metal. Oil prices were slightly higher and actually managed to snap a two-week losing streak with a solid advance of about 6% as escalating US-Iran tensions drove worries over heater supplies out of the Middle East. Brent futures traded 0.1% higher at $71.68, and US West Texas Intermediate were just up slightly to $60.24 a barrel. Both contracts hovered near their highest level since early August. Tensions remain elevated after Trump on Thursday said really bad things would happen if Iran does not come to an agreement regarding a nuclear program within 10 to 15 days, raising the prospect of military action. In Europe, the euro-US dollar traded 0.1% higher to 1.1782. The single currency slipped 0.7% for the week, weighed down by uncertainty over European Central Bank President Christine Lagarde's tenure. Additionally, German producer prices fell more than expected in January, decreasing by 3% on the year instead of the expected 2.1% decline. The pound US dollar added 0.1% to 1.3477, but sterling was still at a one-month low for a weekly drop of around 1.3% and struggling to benefit from strong retail sales growth that was reported. On a monthly basis, UK retail sales gained 1.8% last month compared with December's jump of 0.4%. That's a 4.5% increase on an annual basis. We expect a rate cut at the Bank of England March meeting, which is now 25 basis points priced in. And we still forecast another move in June, which is only 40% priced in. Political risk remains the other major risk for the pound, ING said. European stocks gained ground on Friday as investors digested more corporate results and a dump of economic data while monitoring tensions between the US and Iran. The DAX index in Germany climbed 1%, the CAC 40 in France gained 1.4%, and the FTSE in London rose 0.6%. In a busy week of quarterly reporting, more numbers came out on Friday, and Anglo American swung to a $3.7 billion loss after recording another significant write-down on its diamond business as the miner pressed ahead with efforts to divest non-core assets and advance its planned merger with Teck Resources. Aston Martin Lagonda reported a fall in full-year wholesale volumes and said it would sell the right to use its name on its Formula One team to an affiliate for $50 million in cash. And AstraZeneca announced that the US Food and Drug Administration has approved its Caliquence drug as the first all-oral fixed-duration regime for treating adult patients with chronic lymphatic leukemia and small lymphatic lymphoma. HSBC Holdings, as part of a larger efficiency drive, reported that they eliminated 10% of its US debt capital market staff. Reductions included several senior positions in New York, ranging from analysts to a managing director. And UBS strategist said the UK equity market is showing earlier recovery signs but remains an optional destination for global capital, arguing that investors should focus on cash return leaders and under-owned small and mid-cap stocks rather than the broad index exposure. The UK's persistent discount to European equities reflects structural rather than temporary factors, UBS said. Most Asian stocks fell on Friday as growing uncertainty over US interest rates and heightened geopolitical tensions in Iran saw traders steer clear of risk-driven assets. South Korea was an exception, with the KOSPI rallying to new peaks on sustained optimism over local markets after a recent technology-fueled rally, rising 2.31% on Friday. While a rally in tech had driven the KOSPI's gain on Thursday, actually Friday's record high was fueled by outsized gains in brokerage, defense, and insurance stocks. Local media reports showed a rush in buying among retail investors despite broader selling by foreign investors, and South Korea's top court on Thursday convicted the former president to life in prison on charges of an attempted insurrection in late 2024. Japan's Nikkei 225 and Topic indices were the worst performers in Asia, losing 1.4% and 1.2% respectively after some mixed economic data. Data showed national consumer price index inflation sank to a nearly four-year low in January, while core inflation fell but still remained above the Bank of Japan's 2% annual target. Headline CPI fell to 1.5% year-on-year in January from 2.1% in the prior month. National core CPI, which excludes volatile fresh food items, fell to 2% from 2.4% as expected. A core print that excludes both fresh fruit and energy costs fell to 2.6% in January from 2.9% in the prior month. The print is closely watched by the Bank of Japan as a gauge of underlying inflation. It still remains above the Bank of Japan's 2% annual target. The weaker inflation print was driven chiefly by a sustained drop in energy costs after the changes recently to scrap add-on tax on gasoline. Food prices grew at a slower pace as local supermarkets stabilized, especially after the government released more stockpiled rice to help curb steep prices. And cereal prices that include rice grew 12% in January, less than the 14.7% increase seen in the prior month. Drop in inflation raises questions over the Bank of Japan's long-term prospects in raising interest rates. The central bank had hiked rates by 25 basis points in January and had signaled that more hikes were likely if inflation and the economy grew according to its forecast. And separately, Purchasing Managers Index data showed factory activity hitting a four-year high in February, aided by strong overseas demand. The US dollar Japanese yen was little changed at 155.07, and the 10-year Japan was at 2.119%. Chinese markets remain closed for the Lunar New Year holiday, and the US dollar yuan traded unchanged at 6.9087. Hong Kong's Hang Seng Index fell 0.6% as trade resumed after a three-day break, with local tech names tracking losses earlier in their global peers. Alibaba Group and Baidu were among the worst performers on the Hang Seng, sliding between 4 and 6% after the two were briefly mentioned in a US government list of companies with alleged ties to the Chinese military. BYD, which was also mentioned on the list, fell 1.6%. India's Nifty 50 rose, with local tech names skittish despite reports of several new artificial intelligence ventures in the country. Australian share markets slipped on Friday as renewed Iran-US tensions weighed on sentiment, even as the benchmark posted its second consecutive weekly gain on stronger-than-expected corporate results. The ASX 200 was up 1.8% across the week to 9,081. Oil rose to its highest level since August on concerns of a conflict. Woodside Energy gained 1.2% to $27.43, and Beach Energy rose 0.9% to $1.14. Santos retreated 0.9% to $6.94 as it signed an agreement to supply 20 petajoules of gas annually over 10 years to transform Whyalla Steelworks into a green iron facility. Technology extended losses as the sector continued to be plagued by fears that artificial intelligence would disrupt software providers. Wise Tech Global dropped 3.8% to $47.10. Xero slid 3.7% to $77.54. And Megaport lost 11.8% to $9.65, as its EBITDA guidance for the fiscal year was softer than expected. Iron ore tracked for the longest weekly fall since 2022, weighed by signs of a loosening market, as flows improved from Australia and Chinese ports saw elevated stockpiles. Benchmark futures for the 61% content ore in Singapore dropped for the eighth straight day to hit the mid-90s per ton. And actually, that's a six-weekly loss in a row at $95.30. Trading volumes, however, have been relatively thin this week as China markets are closed for the Lunar New Year holidays. Iron ore has come under pressure as port inventories surge in China and the steel market showed signs of seasonal softening, while major miners increased output. Australia's Port Hedland, the number one export gateway for the commodity, reported shipments of 49.2 million tonnes last month. That's a record for January. Rio Tinto Group, which posted flat full-year profit results on Thursday, said it continued to invest heavily in sustaining output from Western Australia. Four of five major replacement mines are currently ramping up or under construction, the company said. Rio was last at $163.30, down 3.79% for the week. QBE added 7.1% to $21.48 as the insurer reported 21% lift in full-year net profit to $2.16 billion US dollars ahead of expectations as premium income and investment returns improved solidly. Gunsid Y. Gomez plunged 13.9% to its lowest close on record at $70.53 after delivering softer-than-expected sales and a big loss in the US. And Ingham's Group dived 13.5% to $2.11 as the poultry producer cut its full-year profit forecast to $180 to $200 million following a sharp decline in earnings. Newmont dropped 4.9% to $167.60 as the world's largest gold producer said it expected output to fall about 10% this year due to planned upgrades at several mines. And Austal jumped 5.5% to $6.30 as it secured a $4 billion contract construct 8 landing craft heavy vessels for the Australian Defence Force. The 55% slump in the value of software giant WiseTech Global in the past 6 months versus the 28% rise in BHP's share price, which hit a record high on Tuesday after its results showed booming sales of copper, nearly tells the story at a local level. It's complicated. The Aussie-US dollar rose 0.5% to 70.85 cents, but the Aussie dollar has handed back some of this week's gains after earlier data showed Australia's unemployment rate held at 4.1% in January, signalling a still tight labour market, even as unemployment growth moderated. And it was also at 52.56 UK pence. And the two-year bond was at 4.23%. Finally, Bitcoin was headed for a two-day win streak on Friday, benefiting from some dip buying on recent declines, although sentiment towards cryptocurrencies remains under pressure from interest rate uncertainty and geopolitical risk. It was 68,257 and is still nursing a 24% loss so far in 2026. Broader crypto prices were mostly higher on Friday, although altcoins were nursing another week of losses. World number two crypto Ether added 1.1% to $1,974, but for the week it was down 5.5%. Next week, we're going to get more company reports, and the focus will be on the January CPI release on Wednesday, with construction work done due on Wednesday and private capex on Thursday. NAB says it expects headline CPI and trimmed mean inflation to be unchanged at 3.8% year over year and 3.3% year over year, respectively. When the Reserve Bank of Australia released the minutes from the last meeting of its Monetary Policy Board on Tuesday morning, one word stood out: materially. Inflation was materially higher. The RBA's economic forecast is now materially stronger. The balance of risk to the RBA's dual mandate, employment and stable prices, has materially shifted. The world is becoming more inflationary, certainly. But perhaps the reason it's inflationary is less about the change in individual domestic economies and more to do with the cracks emerging in old models of geopolitics and macroeconomics. Indeed, it was billionaire investor and financial historian Ray Dalio who started the week with a dramatic declaration on social media. It's official. The current world order has broken down. What prompted this bold statement was last week's Munich Security Conference, the mood of which was perfectly captured by the report prepared to set the scene. The world has entered a period of wrecking ball politics. Sweeping destruction rather than careful reforms and policy corrections is the order of the day, the report said. Actually, three big forces: geopolitical breakdown, AI, and polarizing inequality may not have been among the material shifts the RBA talked about in its minutes, but those rotations which we're seeing in financial markets suggests that investors do need to adapt, and the volatility that we've seen will continue. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. My thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.